We're glad to present your speaker, Brother V.E. Howard.
Today we continue the discussion of the subject, the blessings of faith. Remember that faith is a vital, continuous, and eternal principle which underlies every acceptable action of obedience to God. An impressive way in which the principle of faith is used in the Bible is seen in the parable of the sower, as found in Luke chapter 8, verses 5 through 8. The record states, "The sower went forth to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden underfoot, and the birds of the heavens devoured it. Another fell on the rock, and as soon as it grew, it withered away, because it had no moisture. And the other fell amidst the thorns, and the thorns grew with it and choked it. And the other fell into the good ground and grew and brought forth fruit a hundredfold." As he said these things, he cried, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." From this text, it is evident that Jesus was aware of a rocky ground faith. Obviously, that is the kind of faith that does not continue unto salvation. It may be genuine as long as it lasts, but its endurance is limited. In this case, the seed was sown upon the soil, which was underlaid with rock. Such a person is one who hears the word of the Lord, receives it immediately, and has great joy, and he has high hopes for the future. But there's something wrong from the beginning. The roots are shallow and insecure. He received the seed, but he had no root for it. Growth or endurance was hindered. The seed was not at fault because the seed is the word of God, the seed of the kingdom, as explained by Jesus in verse 11 of that chapter, Luke 8. When tribulations and persecutions arise because of the word of God, then trouble begins with the person who is without good, healthy roots in the soil of his heart. A remarkable feature of this example may be found in the fact that the sun is used to represent tribulations and persecutions. Yet, sunshine is one of the very vital elements for growth of the seed and the development thereof. The sun is necessary for the bearing of fruit. When the soil of man's heart is shallow, and the seed is without the root of active, stimulating faith, the hidden hardness of the rocky soil in the heart chokes out the growth of faith beyond a certain point. There can never be any deep abiding power for a fruitful Christian life as long as there is the lack of roots of faith. Therefore, the Bible also uses the term faith in a transient, qualifying sense. What kind of soil is your heart? There's nothing wrong with your heart. Will this seed, the Word of God, produce living, active faith in your heart soil? Another way the term of faith is employed in the New Testament is that the whole body of truth in the New Testament is a body of faith or a system of faith. In Acts chapter 6 and verse 7, the record states, "And the Word of God increased, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith." Here, the term faith is used to signify what is believed or the contents of belief. Some people were converted to the faith, which they had once opposed. Jude, in verse 3, exhorts us to contend earnestly for the faith, which was once for all delivered unto the saints. In Philippians chapter 1, and verse 27, the apostle challenges Christians to be striving for the faith of the gospel. In Acts 24:24, we read how that Felix sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ Jesus. Thus, faith is used in the New Testament to represent the truth, the whole system of truth found in Christ. Paul spoke of the word of faith which we preach. "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness," he said. Romans chapter 10, verses 8 and 10. Verse 17 concludes, "So belief, or faith, cometh of hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ." My friends, There can be no faith apart from the Word of God, or no blessings of faith. Faith is the result of the Word of God, the truth of Jesus Christ. The whole body of truth concerning Christ is revealed in the New Testament. Our faith must be more than just an intellectual or historical faith. It must be more than the stony ground faith that wilts under persecution. Faith, in order to save eternally, must be a way of life. Our faith must be predicated upon divine truth, the gospel of Christ. Faith, traditions, doctrine, and commandments of men will not save alone. Read Matthew chapter 15, verses 6 through 9. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 13 and 14, Paul revealed how that God chose you from the beginning unto salvation, in sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto He called you through our gospel. Did you hear that? Are you listening? Paul declared that it is the belief of the truth that is vital to our salvation. And belief of the truth is to believe in God. And to believe God's truth is to believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The faith that is truly meaningful, the faith that saves, is the faith that grows and continues in its acceptance of God and His revealed will. In Revelation 2:10, the Lord admonishes, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life." Yes, from putting on Christ in baptism, as the Apostle states in Romans 6, verses 3 through 6, and verses 17 and 18, to serving the Savior, even to the point of death, faith is involved in every attitude and action that is pleasing unto God. The Apostle declared, "Or are you ignorant that all we who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were buried therefore with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, even so we might also walk in newness of life." The newness of life began, of course, after baptized into Christ as the result of faith. Do you know what that one basic word is that describes all that is involved in obeying and serving the Lord? It is the word faith. Faith in God, not faith alone, but an active, obedient faith. The New Testament used the term faith in a broad manner, setting forth the way of salvation as revealed and practiced in New Testament Christianity. The term belief or believe is a generic term. 18:8, it is revealed, "And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed, and were baptized." Question: did Crispus believe only? Positively not. As a believer, he was baptized into Christ, the Scripture states. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 14, Paul said that he himself baptized Crispus. And of course, Christ commanded that the believer be baptized, as you will read in Mark 16:16. Another example, the phrase, "all that believed," described those who had obeyed the gospel in the first century. When the Apostle Peter was convicting the multitude of their sins on the first Pentecost after the death of Christ, he commanded them, "Repent ye and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, unto the remission of your sins." Acts 2, verse 38. Verse 41 reveals, "They then that received His word were baptized, and there were added unto them in that day about 3,000 souls." Another verse informs us, "And all that believed were together." Verse 44. Yes, they received the word from the apostles. The apostles, of course, were inspired by the Holy Spirit to deliver that message. And in believing the message, they obeyed the gospel commands to repent and be baptized for the remission of their sins. Therefore, the phrase, "all that believed," described those who had heard and obeyed the will of the Lord. They believed, and that included an action of their faith. Now, if the expression, "all that believed," described those who heard and obeyed the commands of Christ? How would we describe those who heard and would not obey the commands of the gospel? Could one say that they really believed? How much did they believe if they would not obey the simple commands to repent and be baptized? Who would say that everybody who heard Peter command, repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins? Everybody who heard him that day, did they all obey? Although some 3,000 believers obeyed the commands of the Holy Spirit through the apostle, is it not probable that many did not obey? How much does one believe if he does not add to his faith, as exhorted by the inspired apostle recorded in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 11? Beloved, I ask, are you listening? In what sense can it be said of you that you have believed? The blessings of faith are not for those who do not believe sufficiently to obey the Lord. Another meaningful statement by the Apostle Paul about faith is found in his letter to the church at Corinth. He said, "Now I make known unto you, brethren, the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye received, wherein also ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye hold fast the word which I preached unto you, except you believe in vain." 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 and 2. The Christians at Corinth were urged to be faithful to the truth that they had learned and obeyed, unless they should believe in vain. How can one believe in vain? To believe in vain is to believe to a degree, but not act on that faith. The mental assent of the mind without obedience is vain faith. The purpose of faith is to lead one to obedience to God. When faith fails to lead to obedience, or does not continue to the end, that faith is in vain. Could it be that your faith is in vain? The Word of God teaches that one's faith is in vain unless it is strong enough to cause one to render obedience unto God. What did those Corinthians do to keep their faith from being in vain? The book of Acts gives the account of Paul's labors at Corinth, and this is what he said. "And Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed in the Lord with all his house, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized." Acts 18, verse 8. The statement in this text, "believed in the Lord," is a comprehensive faith, not just faith only, but faith that included acts of obedience. These people at Corinth believed, but if they had not repented of their sins, would not their faith have been in vain? It was Jesus who commanded, "Except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish." Luke 13, verse 3. If they had not obeyed Christ in baptism, would not their faith have been in vain? Remember, it was Jesus who commanded, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Mark 16, 16. What about your faith, my friends? Have you believed? Has it only been in vain? Have you failed to nurture that faith and exercise it in obeying the word of the Lord? Salvation is by faith, but by faith that obeys. And don't you know, the Bible declares, with